Tonight we're going into Proverbs chapter 15. And in going into chapter 15 tonight, there's some information in it that I think is beneficial for us to see. Because we're always dealing with people. We always have to just kind of look at how do we get along with people? How do we make it day to day? Because most of the time, all of us is all, you know, we're always having to deal with somebody, see somebody, walk around somebody, work with somebody. And in doing that, you got different spirits. People have different attitudes. And so we'll end up sometimes not knowing it, but some of the very things that we do can cause confusion. And what wisdom will do is teach us how not to bring about confusion, but to seek for truth. So we'll say wisdom will help one stay out of trouble and seek for truth. Now, that's a weird kind of title, but when you think about it, you can do what's right just like Jesus. You know, well, let's not say just like Jesus, but Jesus did right. But there was always confusion. But the confusion was not that he was doing wrong. And so when their confusion arises up or trouble arises because you're doing right, you have to remember that in the eyes of God, you're not the cause of the confusion. It's man hatred for God. But when we cause confusion, it's because we're not doing things God's way. So let's look and see how wisdom can help us in that arena. Now remember, the man that's doing the writing here is Solomon, a man whom God had blessed to have wisdom that excelled everybody else's up until that time, all of the kings before him. His wisdom was immense. Now the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The Bible says when an individual gives a tender answer, gives a weak answer sometimes, a faint answer, a soft answer in the midst of confusion, it says that soft answer has the ability to do the same thing as repentance does. It turns away wrath. It's the same word as repentance. It turns it all the way around. And it says, but grievous words stir up anger. There are situations that we can be in, and the way that we answer a situation can either mitigate it or ease it or exacerbate it and make that thing go out of proportion. You think about it, if you keep throwing wood on top of a fire, do you think the fire is going to go out if the wood is not too big and just, you know, just a small size and it's dry? No, that fire gonna get bigger and bigger. So when there's trouble and you keep saying, you know, you stir up anger, you say the hard thing at the time when the person already in their foolish state of mind, you stir up anger. And you actually at that particular time, you're not displaying what the Lord has you to display if it's out of your own self-will. Now, if it's because you're rebuking them because the Lord says so, that's different. But Solomon here is talking about how in everyday dealings with people, you can almost let the air or the steam out of somebody's engine. You can just calm them down with a soft answer. It says, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of someone that's wise, someone that has wisdom, someone that has learned how to judiciously use the wisdom that they have in a skillful manner, that person uses knowledge aright. Actually, that's one of the things that knowledge is. I mean, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the right way. But it says, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The Bible says that the mouth of a fool, the one that does not like instruction, the one that's really interested in whatever it takes to look like he's wise without receiving instruction and correction, that will continually pour out foolishness. In other words, that individual's mouth will keep running. It'll keep running, Rumble. it'll keep running, even if it doesn't have anything wise to say. And you will know the fool by the depth of the words that come from his mouth. Verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Whether an individual like God, whether an individual cares anything about God or not, the Bible said that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's not just looking at your positive confession or a person's positive life. God is weighing everything to see what is right. God is weighing everything to see what is just. God is making sure when he looks that he's going to judge aright. So he's weighing everything, the evil and the good. Would to God that we would learn to be more like God, and we start weighing things and pay attention to the evil and good, so that when we speak and use our wisdom, we can use knowledge aright and not let somebody else tell us what to think, but understand what wisdom dictates, because we know the knowledge of God. Verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A tongue that has the ability to bring about peace. In other words, a person that knows how to use words that help bring about peace. Words that know how to build somebody else. A healthy tongue, that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about a wholesome one that has a healing in it. It says it's a tree, like a tree of life. It can build somebody up. But perverseness is a breach in the spirit. Somebody that's crooked, somebody that's wicked, have you thinking you're doing well when you're not. Someone that have you thinking that you're going the right way when you're not, that's perverse. That individual can break your spirit. An individual that can tell you that you don't need to obey God, that everything is okay when it's not, you find out later on you're wrong. That person is the one that's perverse, and that person can bring you a split or a break in your spirit. What do you mean a break in your spirit? When your spirit is not connected with God, believe this, you're crushed. You might not know it, but you are. Verse number 5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A fool, according to what the Bible calls a fool, this person has no regard. He despises the instruction from his father, the instruction that would give him the right kind of correction, the instruction that would give him the right kind of discipline and boundaries that he need, or that would correct him when it's needed to be done. He says that is how you tell what a fool is. No matter how much good wisdom you give him, no matter how much knowledge and you try to take the time to teach, if they despise that, don't want to hear it, got something else they want to hear, you can tell that's a fool. Because he doesn't want his way prepared so his life can be easy. He's like, leave me alone. Just let me be stupid. Because I know. You'd be like Bobby Brown singing a song. It's my prerogative. I can do what I want to do. It's my prerogative. I can live my life. But look at the life he's lived. I don't even have to say any more on that door. But it says, but he that regardeth, he that has respect for, he that pays attention to, that treasures up reproof when it's needed, a correction, a chastisement, that individual is crafty. That individual is wise. That individual is the one that's going to be able to manipulate and do things that's necessary to benefit himself. And it's not in a wicked manner, in a right manner. But it says in verse 6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. It says, in the house of someone that's righteous, in the house of those that fear God, that's righteous, is much treasure, much to be gained, much to grow by. We've read the book of Proverbs, we've read thus far, that treasure is also the things that God gives. That treasure, or that God's blessing and his riches necessarily is not something that you can grasp with your hand, but love, but peace, walking in the pleasure and the goodness of God. That's fine treasure. Wisdom is better to be desired than gold. Yea, much fine gold. In the house of the riches is much treasure, but most people won't seek for that. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Those things that the wicked go get, trouble. Why? Because you live the wicked life, and everything that you have is the very thing that God uses to chastise you with. And if you've gotten it by wicked means, you've planted a crop you don't want to see grow up, but you will reap what you sow. So it's just telling you that you can go on and be a fool if you want to and have a whole lot of bling or have a whole lot of money. But in the process, you got to still meet God. Verse 7 says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. The lips, the thing that sharpens and shapes the words, they're called articulators, that we speak. It says, the lips of the wise, they give out knowledge. The lips, the words, the things that they speak about, it gives knowledge away. All you need to do is be there to catch it. But it says, the heart of the foolish doth not so. Now, that looks like that would be two different things that are in opposite or in opposition. But it's not. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth will speak. That means his lips will move. So the heart of the foolish, the depths of what he's going to say, is not that way. When you listen to a foolish person, they will major on things that are minor. They will exalt those things that are not to be exalted. Those things that are to be brought down low, they will exalt. The things that are bad, they will call good. The things that are evil, they enjoy. The things that are righteous and holy, they'll think as things that you cannot even begin to acquire. So what's the use? So the lips of the wicked will speak foolishness because of the fact that's where his heart is. Verse number 8 is a verse that should bother people. Verse number 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The sacrifice, the animal that is slayed, the thing that you give as an offering, the very heave offering, wave offering, blood offering that they would give of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. That means that very thing is disgusting. It stinks in God's nostril, the abomination, the sacrifice of the wicked, their religious service, it stinks to God. Why? Because you're wicked and you're trying to placate and hide behind your sacrifice, hide behind your religious service that you're a righteous person when you're not. You're fooling man by making him think you're following God, but you're not fooling God. It's an abomination to the Lord. It says, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Think about this. Here's a man offering a sacrifice. Here's a man offering an offering to the Lord, and it's an abomination. Here's another man that didn't even offer a sacrifice, but just his prayers delight the Lord. We should always want that everything that we do in service to the Lord, a prayer to the Lord, is something that he would delight in. And that's what this man does. There are too many people now that are into the religious service, into the religious worship, whose offerings are abominations. Verse number 9 says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth the righteous. Do you see how that is repeated? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Then the way of the wicked is an abomination. Just the way he lives, just the thing that he does, just the path that he's on is an abomination to the Lord God that made him, but he loves him that followeth righteousness. You want God's love, you want God's favor, follow righteousness. Follow the pattern that God has set. Verse number 10 says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Let me tell you, any man that cannot take correction, any man that does not want correction, when he has forsaken the way, followed after the wrong thing, followed after sex, drugs, rock and roll, the wrong kind of ministers, you got somebody that will tell you God's word is not even literal when it's literal, will tell you God's word doesn't mean what it means. You have forsaken the way. You have forsaken the way that Jesus upheld, that Paul upheld, that Peter upheld. Correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way, because he think he knows. He doesn't want to hear the correction because maybe somebody else has put some dirt in his mind. He says, and he that hateth reproof shall die. An individual that don't want to know God's word, don't want to know where they've gotten off track,
following in so-called science, following some kind of deep person. He says that individual that hate reproof, when the reproof will get him in the right way, he will die, totally separated from the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever, who sits between the cherubim. Verse number 11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? The Bible says explicitly that hell, the place where the wicked are sent for judgment or punishment, it says this place, this is Sheol or the grave or the pit, it says in destruction, it is before the Lord. That ruin is right there where the Lord sees it. How much then are the hearts of the children of men? If God can see that and know where the individual destination is, he knows where hell is, he knows where destruction are, he can look at the hearts of men and know who deserves it, who is fit for it. But if an individual thinks that God does not like or that God will not execute judgment, they don't understand how much he loves to uphold his holiness and his righteousness. Verse number 12 says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A scorner, the Bible says, does not love one that reproves him. A scorner, one that will mock, one that feels he's so great, that will basically boast upon himself or feel like he can interpret everything for himself and don't need God. He said he loveth not one that will reprove him, that will change, try to turn him around to the truth. He hates that person. He doesn't love that person. And neither will he go and sit at the feet of the wise so he can learn. I'd rather stay like I am before I let somebody else feel that they can teach me anything. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good. Let's say a merry heart maketh cheerful countenance. I was quoting another scripture. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A person that got a happy heart, a person that's feeling good, the person that's joyful, it makes his face show up. But by sorrow of the heart, when there's pain, when there's hurt, when that comes upon the heart of an individual, the spirit, that which is inside of a person, is broken. The sadness comes. That wholesomeness is broken. And that individual needs and seeks for joy to be restored to the wholeness that he was looking for or that he once had when his countenance was happy. Verse 14 says, the heart of him that has understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. The individual in this verse, his heart that has some understanding, he wants to continually grow. He wants to continually learn. He wants to continually have information given to him so that he can understand not only about God, but about life and the things that are important. The heart of him that has understanding seeketh knowledge. He looks for it. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. The mouth of fools, the individual that has a mouth, that organ that it comes out of, they eat foolishness. They don't want to seek real knowledge. Give me something off the top. Give me something I can talk about. Make myself look like I'm intelligent. And that's what they feed on. A fool that does not want correction or proper instruction. Just give me something to talk about. Something that I can look intelligent and I'll be happy. Verse 15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual drooping. All the days of the afflicted, those that have been weakened, those that have been afflicted and brought down, it says all of his days, it said they're full of trouble. It said they're full of something that feels bad. This is what it's like in this life. If you are afflicted, all the days you're having is disagreeable, it's unpleasant, something is wrong, you're having to maintain. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. That individual that's happy, that individual, when things are going his way, his heart is merry, whether it's merry in the Lord or merry in what he's doing, he's feasting off of that. He's enjoying that. He's satiated by it. But it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Your days may be afflicted, but you are righteous. Your days may be afflicted and you may have pain, but you are righteous. But it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord. That means if you don't have much in someone else, but you got the fear of God, then they have great treasure and trouble therewith. You can have everything you want, got trouble, you got heartache, you got pain, you got all kind of devilment in your life. You're not as good, Solomon says, as a man that don't have as much, but he has the fear of the Lord. But then he says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Better is a vegetable plate. Better is a vegetable plate, Randall, where you have love than to have all kind of steak, filet mignon, a stalled ox. We're talking about an ox is laid up, we're talking about. We're talking about something that you could just got a big old fatted ox, made of potatoes and everything that you want. It says it's better to eat that vegetable plate of those little herbs than to have all that food and you got trouble and you got hatred in your home. And I can tell you now that a lot of people got hatred in their home and they're not happy. Their food don't taste as good. It's not as enjoyable. Verse 18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. A wrathful man, a man is quick to be furious. A man is quick to have rage and anger. It says what he'll do is he'll find a way to go out there and stir it up, to wage a war, to stir up strife. But he said that's just the way he does it. But it says, but he that is slow to anger, not so quick to be angry, that person has the ability to appease, to cut down, to make where a person have strife be quieted down. That's a gift. That's an ability an individual can acquire. Verse 20 says, 19 says, the way of a slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The way of a lazy, good-for-nothing, sorry man that don't want to take responsibility, that don't want to work, and don't want to do for himself, that slothful, lazy, good-for-nothing man, his way is just like a hedge of thorns. I can't work. The thorns keep sticking me out. They keep hurting my feet. My arms can't keep. I can't do the work. Everything's sticking me, so I guess I better not do anything. The thorns are in the way. Excuses. It's too painful for him to get out there and get off his sorry bottom and work. But it says, but the way of the righteous is made plain. When the righteous man make his mind up to do something, he don't have to worry about the thorns sticking him. His way is made plain, although he's the one that really has the thorns. He's the one that has the obstacle, but because his mind is made up in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the thorns, he's able to maintain. A slothful man, when it comes to the things of God, I can't live right. The thorns keep sticking me. I can't go and do and spend time with God's word. Too many thorns. I pick up the Bible, the thorns stick me. I can't stop lying. The thorns will stick me in the throat. I can't go and get to the place where I can do anything God wants because the thorns are all around sticking me. I'm hurting. And so, but the way of the righteous, although he see obstacles, he goes on through. Verse 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. A wise son is going to be one that will receive instruction. He makes his father glad because his father can mold him and shape him and see himself in his son, see his son following in the things of God, seeing his son being responsible and able to bring forth children. He makes his father glad because his father can see his work was not in vain. But a foolish man, a foolish son, despises the very woman that brought him into the earth. A foolish man will despise the mother that will, especially in that culture, would train you and help you so that you would be able to function properly in that society. And that's a foolish man. A foolish man will despise the one that brought him here and one that would give him instruction. So a foolish man would do the same thing and despise God that gave him life, health, and strength, would despise God that allowed his little stank bottom to be able to breathe, would give everything that that man has to be able to function, and he would despise God because God gives instruction, just like this foolish son would despise his mother because the mother would give instruction. stuff. That's why you get called a fool, because you're not taking advantage of your opportunities to grow. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Folly, foolishness makes a person happy. They enjoy folly. They enjoy bringing confusion. They enjoy doing things their own way. They enjoy not listening. They enjoy stirring up confusion. They enjoy pretending to be wise when they're not wise. They enjoy having religious service without doing God's will. They enjoy stirring up dissension. It is joy to them that is destitute of knowing how to construct themselves and behave themselves in a way that shows that they have knowledge and use it in a rightful manner. But a man of understanding will walk uprightly. He won't be doing those things. He will walk in the way of God. Why? Because he understands that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and good. You are accountable to God. Listen to verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors they are established. Without counsel, without proper knowledge, without getting information that you need, you can have any kind of purpose you want to, and they'll be disappointed. It will not come to pass most of the time. It says, but in the multitude of counselors, in the multitude of getting wisdom, getting advice, getting understanding, then you can have your thing established. Well, if you want to build a deck and you don't know how to build a deck, you could do just like this passage say. You don't want to get any instruction? You go out there and throw something up and it's maybe worth nothing. But if you get some people that know what they're talking about, know what to do, and they tell you how to do it, you can establish that deck. But why is it when it comes to a life trying to live for God, people don't want to get proper counsel? If you get the wrong counsel, it's just like not having any counsel. And you go and you try to build a life of God. You try to build a life so that you can walk with God. And what you do, you are automatically in the same position as not having counsel. Why? You haven't got the right counsel yet when you listen to the wrong people telling you the wrong thing about God's word. Because when the right thing comes, you won't hear it. You won't hear it. You'll think God's word is a joke or some kind of great big mystery. And if nobody can understand it unless you got a guru or something like that. And when you don't understand God's word, it's just like you didn't have anybody to teach you. And so what you do, you go and you try to make this life for God, all your purposes are disappointed. But I'm telling you, in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You have 66 books, it's called your Bible. And it gives the counsel of God. It gives the wisdom of God. It gives the word of God. And if someone would care enough to take you through God's word and teach you his word, you're going to get the counseling that you need that's going to make you be able to be and establish the purpose of your life if the purpose of your life is to live for God. And then on top of that, Jesus says the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit and he will be a counselor that will be with you until the end. Verse 23 says, a man have joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. If you're wise and you speak, you can have joy that you've spoken truth. You can have joy that you have helped somebody. When it says the tongue of the wise is like a tree of life, you can have joy when you give somebody a word that it restores them. It brings them back to life, or they correct somebody and they make a change. You can have joy by the answer of your mouth if you're speaking what God has to say. It says, but a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Man, when you say the right thing at the right time and somebody get it, and you know God has used you at that time, that's the sweetest thing, one of the sweetest things you can do. Because at that time, the words that you've spoken many times is more valuable to the person. And if you had given them $200 or $300 in cash, and that's what we want to do. We want our words to be valuable when we speak to people. We want our words to matter. We want people to be able to turn their lives around when we speak. We want people to be able to be lifted up by our words, or at least that their behavior change. A word spoken in due season. How good is it? The way of life is above. Look at this. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from evil beneath Do you see that? The way of life is above to the wise, it's high. To whom? To the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. The way of life, my brother, for a person that's wise, they want to reach up to what God say. They want to live up to what God say, so that they can stop being bound down by this earth and the things that people do, that the wicked do, that's bringing them down. Why do you want to be brought down like other people and be busted and disgusted and broke and be your life be a joke? And everything is going wrong. Why do you want to live like that when God has so much better for us walking in his goodness? So if we walk in God's goodness, the words that he gave from above, we can rise from beneath the bottom and not be foolish, not be liars, not be hypocritical, not be homosexual, not be running around with people, not living a life of violence, because that wisdom does not come from above. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercies, with good fruit, without hypocrisy or partiality. But the wisdom that comes from below, according to James chapter 3, is first earthly, sensual, and devilish. What does that mean, Tim? Let me turn to it. I'll show you. There's such a beautiful scripture in James chapter 3, I believe it's about 17. Let me see if it's 3 and 17. Now, that's the one that's from above. But let's look at the one that's verse 14. Look at this. Verse number 14 says, "But if you have bitter, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." The bitter envying, the strife that people have, that comes from below. Because it says where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And this comes from the same chapter that talks about people running their mouth in the wrong way, and that just like a fountain did not bring forth sweet water and bitter, we shouldn't let our lives be that way. So we say the tree of life, or in the way of life, is from above. We want to reach up to above, so that we don't let our life be focused on that which is beneath. I believe that if a person do that, they're going to walk in a different way. People are going to notice it, and you can be a blessing to somebody. Now, some will hate you. That's fine, because fools hate instruction. Verse 25 says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but will establish the border," look at this, "of the widow." The Bible says the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. You want to be proud? You want to be arrogant? You want to pretend that you're something that you're not and try to force people to accept it? It says the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. That life. Because see, when you talk about a house, that's talking about a house where you live. But your life is also considered to be like a house, because Jesus says a wise man built his house on rock, and a foolish built his own sand, Matthew chapter 7. So when the Lord destroys the house of the proud, those that are arrogant and boastful, and it says he will establish the border of the widow. A widow was considered to be somebody lowly and had been humbled because her husband died, and many times she didn't have much to live on. If we consider ourselves to be too good to be chastened by the Lord, he'll destroy us. But if we would conduct ourselves like a widow that has lost everything and basically looking for someone to help them out, and we look to God that way, we'll be established. Verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." The thoughts of the wicked are thoughts that will tend to go against God. The thoughts are an abomination to the Lord. That's another abomination that we've seen. In this chapter, the sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination. The way of the wicked is an abomination. Then the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. You can be wicked while you think you're doing right, because the person that's giving sacrifice is having service. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination because he has not looked above to get the wisdom and the instruction from God and humbled himself to it, because his pride and his arrogance will keep him feeling he's right when he's wrong. the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination, because often they plan to do evil. They plan to achieve evil. I don't care if they're doing it by murder or by rape or by porn or by lying or even by taking things by government from people. It says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination, because this is what their intentions are. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. When an individual has made his life up, he wants to live by God and he's clean. They are pleasant words, and God is pleased with this man's words, even over above this other individual's thoughts. Wow, what an amazing thing that we can see in the scripture. 27 say, he that is greedy for gain troubleth his own house, but he that hate his gifts will live. Individual is greedy for gain, he'll steal, he'll rob, he'll sell dope, he'll lie, he'll work tricks. And the Bible says that the individual that is greedy for gain will trouble his own house, because he has looked at whatever he can get and let that be a god. That's where he will spend all his time, his energy, and effort doing those things. He puts himself in the position of God's judgment, and he troubles his own house. Not only God's judgment, but the judgment of man, because the things he's trying to do to get more, 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 he forgets he's going to die, and in the process of being ruthless and wicked, it says he troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. An individual that don't want to be bribed, an individual that want to be just, an individual that wants to be righteous, that individual will not take bribes and gifts, and said that individual will live. Why? Because he executes the judgment of God, and because God must be within inside of him, guiding him, he'll live. 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out foolishness. The heart of the righteous, it says, what it does, it studieth, it desires, it groans, it meditates, it thinks about giving the right answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. When you want to give the right answer, when you want to speak the proper word in season, you go and learn what's necessary so you can give the proper answer. You want to give the answer that helps in the situation. Even when it comes to God's word, you want to do it. But it says the mouth of the wicked pours out evil thing. Like saying there maybe three worlds before this one, or three earth ages, or that there were create creatures and worlds before this one. The Bible said it's not. That's wicked. He's pouring out evil things. It's contradicting the scripture. You want to say a person can live a wicked and ungodly life and still be saved? That's pouring out evil things. But then, to tell people it don't matter how you serve, that's pouring out wicked and evil things. The heart of the righteous study to answer. You want to tell the truth. You want to give the answer when someone has a situation in life that you can help. Yes, go on back to school if necessary. Yes, go back home and take care of your children. Study it to tell the truth. Studying the answer the right way. But the mouth of the wicked child, you, man, you ain't got to take care of your kid. They get a check. You know, that woman get a check. You ain't got to worry about that. That's wicked. Verse number 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Doesn't matter what people say. The Lord is separated from the wicked. You want to be wicked, the Lord will be far from you. Don't let no one tell you that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. If you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. If you're far from the Lord, it's because you have withdrawn from him. You did not want to receive his instruction. And it says the Lord is far from the wicked. Although his eyes are on him, he's far from him to hear him. He's separated. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He's close. He's nearby the righteous. They've drawn close to him. They feared him, and they walk in his blessing. Verse 30 says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, what you see. Some things you can see just make you happy, make your eyes overjoyed. You can see somebody you haven't seen in a long time. You can see God's will taking place in somebody's life. You can see God fulfilling his word, vindicating you. It says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. The thing that you see when you're seeing God's work in action, it rejoices the heart, but a good report makes the bones fat. When you get used to hearing good reports, whether it's God's word that will make you happy, whether it's somebody's benefiting and growing, if you're the kind of person that's looking for that, it's just like giving your stature, giving it something stronger to stand up on. Strong bones, big bones. where you can stand better. Why? Because you're being encouraged. Verse 31 says, the ear that heareth reproof, listen to this, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. You want to hear what's righteous? That ear that will hear that and tilt his ear toward hearing what is right, hearing the right reproof, that individual will dwell and be among the wise. Why? Because you got what was necessary to turn you around from being foolish to being wise, into being wise. Therefore, you will abide with the wise. When we were reading the first Proverbs, it told us that a wise man will hear, and he will a man of understanding will attain to wise counsel. Here it is here. You listen, you grow. But some people will never go to those that are wise unless it's to challenge them and to find fault with them and to never benefit and grow from that person. And so they remain in the congregation of the foolish. How sad it is. 32. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. An individual that you can talk to over and over again and try to help that individual over and over again, and they won't see it. They refuse to see it. Talking about they got to meditate over it. They got to think about it. They got to, well, you know, I just can't. Or an individual that won't hear God's word. An individual that don't care what God says, well, when I get ready to. An individual that don't pay attention to what goes on in his life when he receives proper instruction. The Bible says he despises his own soul, although it may not be intentional, because the net effect is you've hurt your own self. How many men have despised their own soul because they wouldn't listen to their wives when they try to help them? How many of us have despised our own soul when we wouldn't listen to our teachers in school? And now life is hard because we didn't listen and benefit. Well, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Proper reproof will make you grow. Proper reproof, proper correction, proper chastisement can help you to understand that this behavior is unbecoming, and especially if it comes from someone, especially the word of God, that will tell you why you're wrong and what the consequences would be before you have done it, and you look and say, wow, and you have a confidence in God's word, confidence in the correction, and you're able to live your life in such a way that you don't require a whole lot of reproof. 33 says, listen to this, the fear of the Lord is instruction. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord, the reverence, the fear, the reverence, the awesomeness of God, and the terror of the Almighty God is instruction of wisdom. Why? Think about when you understand the majesty of God, his power, his awesomeness, and the things that he's been able to do that no one else can do, and his awesome dread and fear of the power that he has, the power to open the earth when he get ready, the power to send tsunamis when he get ready, the power to send earthquakes when he wants to, the power to do any and everything that we've never even began to think about that he can do. We know he has the power. That fear of the Lord like that is instruction of wisdom, because he's the one that is worthy of all praise. He's the one not to be violated. And before honor is humility. When you see God in that sense, you would naturally know to humble yourself. And those that will humble themselves to God, God will exalt. God's word is powerful. It will allow an individual to grow and keep him from doing the abominable things and the detestable things, so that individual can be the man that God would look at and smile. That his prayers will be a delight, as opposed to someone whose thoughts, just his thoughts, are an abomination to God. That Proverbs covered a lot of things tonight. Was there anything that you saw in it that you liked, Randall? Yeah.
I see it every day.
Foolish people.
Yes, every day.
And they keep doing the same thing Proverbs talked about. Yep.
They don't believe in God.
And the sad thing about it is, they don't believe in God,
at the same time, most of the time they're scared of death.
Yeah.
Now what meaneth that? You're scared to die, but you don't like God. What are you afraid of?
Afraid of shit.
You think that when you think God can't get you before you die, you must be afraid.
They don't think that, though.
What they think, Rambo?
They think they get away with anything, say anything they want to.
And the Bible call that kind of person the
fool.
That's him. Anybody on the conference line have anything they would like to say, please? We give them a minute to get off the mute button.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful lesson.
Thank you.
I don't know what a fool is if I didn't know.
Well, I can tell you this much. We can see that I think all of us have the opportunity to participate in that sport, being the fool. Because every time you don't necessarily want to hear instruction, because sometimes we may perceive that the person giving us the instruction maybe is out of place or they're wrong, or sometimes we just go headlong. Like no one's looking at the stop sign and you're running anyway. And you get the ticket.
Sometimes you think the person that's giving instruction is a bit foolish.
That's right. Thank you. I'm glad you did too. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
I saw a lot of New Testament in those precepts.
Give us a taste.
I think in
verse 10 it
talks about grace and being grievous. And I thought of Hebrews 12 where it talks about no chastening for the present thing which is to be joyous.
Right.
But afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And some other stuff, I thought about the truth and the words from his lips, and I thought about what Paul told Timothy about shunning those vain babblings and those people that spoke things about the so-called assignment that is so-called.
Right.
And to shun those things because it will lead to more ungodliness. And how we told him to show himself approved.
Right.
I sort of connected that with verse 28, where it talks about the heart of the righteous failure to answer.
Beautiful. That was good because I looked up that word that where it says study to answer. I mean, and it had some good stuff. It meant to roar, to growl, to groan, to utter, to speak, to meditate, devise, to muse, which means think, or even imagine. I mean, it's like your whole soul and being, from the thrust of that word, it's like your whole being wants to be able to give a right answer. Whereas a fool's mouth would just pour out something. It just dumps it. It's just like, they're like vomit, you know? You don't have to study to vomit. You just, something there that's not right. Here it comes. And it's everywhere, all over the floor of your car. I mean, Lord have mercy. And don't let it be someone that hasn't been trained to at least try to make it to the bathroom and use the receptacle. They'll just do it right there on the floor. And just look at it. Am I right, Mom? And so what ends up happening is a fool would do that, but one that studied the answer, he's not just wanting to pour out something. Why? The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You want pure words. Was there anything else you had on that? Because that was good. Right.
And many foolish and hurtful lusts that drown men in destruction. So, yeah. And see people flocking to people who talk about being rich all the time.
Right.
So I just, that's about me. That I just.
Well, think about a prosperity preacher. If all he preaches is prosperity, and his, if you liken his assembly to his house, it's and he's greedy for gain, he troubles his own house. Give me this, give me your car, give me this tithe, give me this offer, give me this extra, give me this. You know, the devourer gonna come, the boogeyman gonna come, and you got people in there sometimes giving up their rent or their house note, and they're always straining every time they turn around you. You're being taxed by our government. You're being taxed even in ways you don't know, on your phone, your gas, your lights, your water. And then you seem like every time you turn around, if you got an assembly, it's always begging for money. And then you got on top of that TBN giving marching orders, begging. And it's like you, they trouble their own house, because the house of God is not going to be troubled like that. Because we're not going to be greedy for gain. But those that are greedy for gain, they'll buy into that man's vision, building up his house, thinking they're going to build up their house, and they literally go through and make their own house trouble. You see, a house is a lot of troubled people, you know, out there faking it, claiming this new car, because they're greedy, and they go get it and can't afford it.
And Paul said they have erred from the faith.
That's right. If people say you can't do that, but I believe Paul over them. When they've taken as many beatings as Paul, when they've lived the life Paul did, then I'll say maybe you can contradict Paul then. But you got a long way to go before Peter called your words scriptures. Is Miss Stephanie with us tonight? Well, I've enjoyed being able to go through this.
Yes, you go.
Yeah, I caught in the part of it. I missed the very, very beginning, but I was after the cat some of it.
Was there anything that stuck out to Miss Stephanie?
Well, I had been reading it, and I was just thinking about the part I liked is where it says that, you know, I'm trying to remember from what I read that, you know, that we think we're wise in our own minds, and that was what stuck out to me. And so many times people think they're doing something that they think is right, or they think that they're doing something that's in their best interest, which will benefit them, but it's like they really don't want to heed any type of godly counsel. And I know lately I have been able to witness a lot of people
who had been given godly counsel,
but they kept going
for what they
wanted to, because in their eyes
they were doing what they felt was
right. And
then
it wasn't until after God had to judge them that they saw that they weren't doing right in the first place.
That's true.
That's true.
Yep. That's true. And I sit back and watch, and I watch to see their house destroyed or their life destroyed. I just sit back and watch, because I know God is faithful on both sides. He's faithful to forgive if you repent. He's faithful to restore if you repent and you'll come towards him. But he's also faithful to put his hand on you when you won't listen to his wisdom.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like if you're not going to do right, the Lord is faithful. And one day I'll be able to talk to somebody. I knew somebody, so-and-so. I knew somebody I told, don't do it. These are the things that set up. God said this. They don't line up, don't do it. You watch them do it, and you watch them feel it. I know somebody right now getting ready to get their whole heart set, not wanting to hear instruction, not wanting to hear wisdom, don't want to hear reproof, don't want to come around where somebody would give them wisdom so that they can go on their own way. And I guarantee you, if you watch, that person's life is going to be brought down. It's going to be more sadness because they've kept their foolish ways up. I know this person personally, and the sad thing about it, I tried to help. I tried. And if that person gets a modicum of joy in what they're doing, Lord have mercy.
Because if a person don't turn their life to hearing God's instruction, if they can be happy and have some joy in their wickedness, the Bible just said even the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible just said that. His thoughts and all the treasure, whatever they can have, God said their way is an abomination. And if the person calls himself, I'm going to continue to serve God anyway, in the midst of my wickedness, in the midst of building my wicked, ungodly, unprofitable house on sand, the Bible said that way is an abomination, and their sacrifice, their worship is an abomination. And you think that if I live long enough and watch that person's life, I don't expect to see God be faithful to his word? I don't have to want it to happen, Randall. God said he is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and shall it not come to pass? He's the one that makes all things happen by the counsel of his own will. Bless his mighty, mighty name forever. I got a little happy, didn't I? Y'all, you all can excuse me for doing so, but you know, you try to help people, and you just see people just go on in their way. They're like a bad child. Bad child grow up, don't get a good education, don't get a good job, and can't find a job. Nobody want to hire him because he has no skills, or her because they have no skills. And then they want to look back and can't remember how they treated the teachers, how they treated the parents, how they treated those that would give them instruction. And a fool would never admit that it's their own fault. Where's the way I was brought up? The teachers didn't like me. Everybody made fun of me on the bus. Well, I was at the wrong place. They gave the other person a job because they were a different color. You lying, dirty baby diaper. You're not fit to be in a proper space. You're not fit to be out in the open and just sit around. You need to be placed in a place where you can be covered up and out of the way, because you didn't prepare yourself to be wise. Amen. If you stink in God's nostril and you're an abomination, that's what abomination is, a stinking God's nostril. Your ways stink. Your thoughts stink. Your lifestyle stink. Even the treasure you build up stink. Your worship stink. Why do you think I feel you bring a good fragrance around me? That's right. And I've been the one that brought the stench around before. Don't say amen, mama. Don't say it. Yes, but the Lord knows how to clean you up. He can take that dirty diaper, take it out there in the bucket, shake it off, wash it out, put the bleach in it, and the soap. That baby diaper be just as clean, fluffy, and white. It can be used all over again. That's what the Lord can do to us. Clean us up. Make us fit to be used all over again. For whatever purpose he has for us. So a lot of people don't know what diapers are anymore. Remember, they use Pampers.
Yeah.
But I remember diapers.
Yeah. The one you put the pins in.
Yeah, you put the pins in. Hey. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed this, you all. I hope you all did, too. I'm going to go ahead and close it out for tonight, unless somebody else has something they just would like to say before I do.
Come on, say something.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the words of wisdom that came in, that we got a chance to hear from the callers tonight, for them joining in, and how they were able to add to what we've covered in your word tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to always let us have the mindset that we all can grow from your word, that we all can benefit from your word. Help us to walk uprightly and speak the truth in our hearts, so that you'll be pleased with us in the life that we live. We ask this in the blessed name of the Holy Child, of your Holy Child, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And for those that will listen to this on our podcast, we don't want you to have to buy this information. You can go to seekingthetruth.podbean.com, and you can get this information for free. So I don't know how, because we know people are listening to this, Randall, in other countries, and we don't know how they're getting it. but we want them to be able to get it free. We foot the bill so that they can have this. So we thank them for listening, and we thank them that, you know, that they seemingly are enjoying what we're doing. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.